Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your faithfulness. You know the thoughts. Actually, it's not just thoughts. It's plans. You know the plans that you have towards us. Plans of good and not of evil. To bring us to an expected end. To give us a future and a hope. We give you thanks for this. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome to church. God is walking. He's on the throne. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is walking. If I'm in tune with God, my life can never be boring. And now, I did not tell you that I don't go through boredom. I didn't say that. I said if I'm in tune with God, listening to Him, yielding to Him, doing His will, my life can never be boring. When I'm going to boredom, it's because I'm not in tune. Amen? Hallelujah. Because when the Holy Spirit fills you, you have stimulation. You don't need alcohol. Hallelujah. When you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you are stimulated. Hallelujah. You have dreams and goals before you that keep you excited. And I keep saying something. I said, look, the reason why you feel down in this world is because the nature of the world is to pull down. When all your hopes are on, you know, what are we achieve? Where are we go? What are we have? What are we possess? Those things can make you feel down. Are you with me? You can sit down and analyze your life and say, I have not reached this point. Then you feel down. You can sit and say, oh, no, none of my friends called me this week. Huh? Then you feel down. When you measure your life, or when you measure your life by how the world is treating you, no matter how good you are, you can feel down. The person who has no friend is down because they have no friends. The person that has 100 and one of them did not call them, and they always, if you are 100 friends and they call you every week, the weak one does not call, you will feel down, especially if that's your favorite friend. Hallelujah. The things in this world can make you feel down. That's what Jesus just said, in the world, you will have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So I understand that the only way I will not feel down is to keep myself stimulated. Ever stimulated by the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. It says, be not drunk with wine. And I know, I hope you know that I'm not talking about non-alcoholic wine. Because when wine comes out of the farm, it's non-alcoholic. Amen? It's juice. Amen? Hallelujah. It's juice. When beer comes out of the farm, it's not alcoholic beer. It's barley. And wheat. And apple. And grape. That's new wine. Amen? It does not become alcohol until it goes through a process of fermentation. Amen? I see, your alcoholic drink, the wine you have as alcoholic, is not mostly alcohol. It's a percentage volume. We are not against the wine. We are against the alcohol. Why are we against the alcohol? Two reasons. One, it does no good to your body than to destroy your liver. It fries it. Either softly or deep frying. Amen? Secondly, it takes you out of control. This is the real problem, really. I don't want to be out of control. Because when you are out of control, you can be under the influence of wrong spirits. Anytime you are out of control, the devil finds it easier to influence you. Amen? But today I'm not talking about alcohol. That's not my goal. My goal is to tell you that there is an alcohol in the spirit that can stimulate you and you overcome downness and boredom. Hallelujah. When you are filled, you see, when you go born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you. I believe it. Hallelujah. That the Holy Spirit lives where? In you. It's a well of living water. He came in the day you got born again. Hallelujah. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, it means you are not born again. And on the other hand, if you are not born again, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But there is a well, but that well needs to fill you. When it fills you, it influences and dominates you. You are stimulated. You are stimulated. Hallelujah. Today I want to show you something about the scripture we quote often. I'll just give you a deeper revelation. Open to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Let's go to verse 18. Jeremiah. It's after Isaiah. Oh, by the way, where's Isaiah? Abby, are you your brother's keeper? Jeremiah 29. We're looking at verse 18. Let's have one of our youth. Jeremiah 29. Verse 18. I hope I got it right. Am I saying the wrong one? Where is it now? Can't even see it in my Bible. No, that's not where I went. 29:11, sorry. I've not checked it, but I think it's 11. Yes? Thank you, thank you. Thank you, my sister. You are following me. Jeremiah 29:11. Let's have two or three versions. Hopefully we hit the version that the Holy Spirit has put in my heart. Yes, let's start from the youth. So we're going to have Agnes, and then we have Sister Ogo, and then Sister Esther reading different versions, starting with Agnes. Jeremiah 29:11.
For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope.
Amen. That's enough. I know the plans. That was the version I was looking for. What version is that? New Living Translation. Can you give me another version? Jeremiah 29:11.
I'll be reading from New King James.
Okay, New King James, go.
It says, for I know the thoughts
that I know think the thoughts. Yeah, continue.
That I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope.
Amen. There's any other version there? Jeremiah 20, thank you. I'll come to you, don't worry. I'll come to you many times, don't worry. Jeremiah 29:11.
Yes, I have good news translation.
Yes, give me some good news.
I alone know the plans I have for you.
I alone know the plans I have for you, yes?
Plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Plans to bring about the future you hope for.
Hallelujah. You see, I want you to understand that God has plans for you. He had those plans before you made your own plans. Many times, our plans take us into disaster. Our plans take us into worry. Our plans take us into trouble. Our schemings, our smartness, our wrong desires can lead us to the den of the devil. Hallelujah. But say, I have plans. I want you to understand that God has a plan. Say, God has a plan for my life. But it's more than that. It's more than that. Now, come to 1 Corinthians 12. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. I'll link it back to gifts of the Spirit so you see what I'm saying here. I don't think I've ever understood 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4 like I've understood in the last 2-3 weeks. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 4. Let's have some readings. Yes? So, just wait. Yes?
Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Amen? Continue. Is that all in the verse?
And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord.
There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. Yes, and one more.
And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all.
Amen. That's three verses. Thank you. You got it right. Amen. Let's have another reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 6. Yes. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6. Please follow your Bible.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 6.
Yes.
I'm reading from Amplified. Now there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments, gifts, and extraordinary powers distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. And they vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same. And there are distinctive varieties of service and ministration.
There are distinctive varieties of service and ministrations, yes?
But it is the same Lord.
It is the same Lord.
And there are distinctive varieties of operations of working to accomplish things but it is the same God who inspires and energizes them all in all.
Amen. Hallelujah. What did you notice in verse 4 to 6? He's talking about three personalities. I told you, God is one, but he's three personalities. They are distinct. If you read the book of Revelation, you will see. Hallelujah. But they are in perfect harmony. Amen. Perfect what? Harmony. Perfect agreement. They are equally God. There are diversities of spiritual gifts, but it is the same Spirit. So do I explain to you that spiritual gifts are tools we need for service. Amen? But they are not diversities of administrations and ministrations. We call them your callings. Amen? We call them what? Your calling. That's an office that God puts you into. Amen? God may call you to the ministry of helps. That includes singing. Hallelujah. That includes ushering. That includes publicity. That includes everything you do to help those fivefold ministry. Amen? Who is the one in charge? Jesus. You know? Because Jesus is the perfect model of the servant of God. He came to serve. Hallelujah. But that's not where I'm going. I'm just saying that. And I tell you, the administrations, which is the ministries, are higher. I want you to understand that today. That God is equal. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are one. But there is hierarchy. Jesus said, my Father is greater than I. Hallelujah. That's hierarchy. God the Father. And then, God the Son. How do we know God the Son is greater than God the Spirit? Because he said, I will send you the Holy Spirit. He will bear witness of me. He will not speak of himself, but he will speak of me. The spiritual gifts are to help the spiritual ministries. Amen? As you serve God, doing what God has called you to do. It may be sweeping the floor of the church. It's a ministry of helps. Amen? If you sweep it, pastor will not have to sweep it. And there are times in this church I've swept the floor. And I've had my people chatting. They didn't help me. I could have spent that time praying for somebody. Amen? As you do what God has called you to do, spiritual gifts will help you to be effective in them. Amen? Now, I want you to understand that your calling or your service or your ministry, whatever you do for God, is not the highest level. He said there are diversities of operations. I want to interpret that to you that there are diversities of plans. Plan. Someone say plan. And who is controlling the plan? Who is controlling the plan? The Father. Amen. The fact that I'm called to be a pastor does not mean I can pastor any church. There is a plan for the church I'm to pastor for now. Oh, 7 years time, he called me to do something else. He has a plan. Hallelujah. The fact that I'm called to be a doctor does not mean I should work in any hospital. I have free will. But if I ask him, he will give me his plan. It is within that plan that I prosper. Not just money. And if I called you and I said, you know, if you are doing a job, I told you yesterday, you went for 3 interviews. One was 40K. One was 60K. And one was 80K. Now you're a child of God. Christian. Which one will you pick? Hallelujah. You may just look at him. You are following the money. You are not following the plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may go for the 80K job, but not have peace. Hallelujah. You may go for the 40K job, have peace, grow, and in time, overtake the person who took the 80K. God has a plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I locate myself in the plan of God, and I can't without listening to God. I can't know the plan of God if I cannot just be humble enough to hear God. Look, let me tell you something. If you are born again, God speaks to you already. A child of God, just say, my sheep hear my voice. A child of God does not need to make effort to hear from God. Our effort is to chase away the distraction. The effort is not to make God speak to you. The effort is to quieten the noise in your life so you can hear. Are you with me? Hallelujah. God is always speaking. It's a hearing problem. It's not a speaking problem for God. It's we not hearing. So when I fast, when I pray, when I meditate, I'm quieting down the noise. There's a lot of noise going on in your soul. It's coming from the flesh and from the world and from the devil. But when you're quieting the noise, you will hear what God is saying. It may be the 40K one that is within the plan. And the 40K one will prosper me more in due time. It's part of problems is that we want everything now. You don't understand that you can enjoy it now and suffer later. Or endure now and enjoy later. In this world. I'm not talking of in heaven. In this world. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And all the time. See, God has the master plan for my life. And it's a good plan. Hallelujah. You know the parable of the prodigal son? You know the parable of the prodigal son? Yeah? How many prodigal sons were there in the story? Where's my mic? How many prodigal sons do you think were there in that story? The parable. How many? Tell me why. Give me the reason. Tell me how many and the reason. Yes. Let's go for our youth. How many prodigal... You know the parable of the prodigal son? I believe you do. You've grown up in this show. You must know it. So tell me how many and why did you call him prodigal?
One.
Okay. And why did you call him prodigal?
Because he strayed in his path.
Strayed, like he was on the farm, then he strayed away. No, give it us more detail. So when he strayed, what do you mean?
Like,
yes, you know it. I don't have any doubt. Just tell us, you know, articulate it. So what did he do? That you call straying.
He asked for his inheritance.
Yes.
And he spent all of it, and
he left home.
Yeah.
The first step was straight. In fact, asking for his inheritance is not destroying. He left home. He left home. And then he wasted what? His inheritance. So those are the two. He's straight. So, yes, I agree with that answer. But was there only one prodigal son? Anybody think that it's more than one in this story? And why? Is it one prodigal son or two? Remember, the first one asked for his inheritance. Then he left home and he wasted all his inheritance on ungodly living. So he's prodigal, isn't it? Was that all? Yes?
While one son wasted his life in righteous living, the other wasted his life in legalism and bitterness.
Amen. Is it when the father divided the inheritance? How many people did he divide it to? One or two? So how many people had their inheritance now? One or two? Two. Amen. One wasted it. One did not use it. Amen. That's why it was bitter eventually. When you don't use your inheritance that God has given you for his glory, yeah? When you don't understand that he has given it to you and you can use it for his glory, you will end up being bitter and down. Now, why I share that, I'm speaking under inspiration. I'm not preaching myself. I want to let you know that they are prodigal children of God. In the church, in this church even, right now. Let me explain prodigality to you. Prodigality is anytime you are not following the plan. Anytime you are not in the plan of God, you are out of the plan. You are prodigal. And it doesn't matter if you are making 4 digits of money. You are prodigal. Hello? Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans. You know, I like the version that Shelley read. It was just amplifying it. I know the plans that I have towards you. Hallelujah. God say God has plans. And I better start knowing them. Amen. Within that plan is your peace and your prosperity. And true prosperity starts from your spirit. It moves to your soul. Then, finally, to your body. He said, what shall he profit a man if he gains what? Then what did he lose? What does it mean to lose your soul? Let's have some answers. What does it mean to lose your soul? Now, let me give you the key. The key is he gains the whole world. And the second key is what I've been preaching all day. Yes, what does it mean to lose your soul? 2-3 answers. Quick. Don't feel you're not young, you're youth. Actually, you're young. You're youth. Bible says the glory of the youth is what? Their strength. Hallelujah. See, the older people wish they were as young as you. See, your face is fresh. Hallelujah. Yes. What does it mean to lose your soul? Just be plain. I'm not looking for perfect. I'm looking for your what you believe.
When you are disconnected from God's goodness.
Yes, when you are disconnected from God's goodness. A very spiritual answer. I'm a spiritual brother. Yes. Come to our level. What does it mean to lose your soul?
When someone is dead, physically dead.
So someone who is physically dead, have lost their soul. Even if they were Apostle Paul. Do you believe that Apostle Paul now is dead? Do you think he has lost his soul? I don't think so. I know you well enough. Yes, so let's take it for that. Yes, Sammy. What does it mean to lose your soul? He said, what shall he profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses what? His soul.
I think it's when you die, but you end up in hell.
Yes, when somebody dies spiritually. Mm-hmm. Can I summarize like that?
Yeah.
So, they die spiritually.
Yeah.
Even if they were living.
Okay, that's not what I was thinking, but yeah.
Yeah, but is that not true?
Yeah.
Because the only reason why someone will go to hell is because they are spiritually dead. Yeah. If someone is spiritually alive, they can't. They cannot go to hell. Yes, thank you for that. Yes, any other one? To lose your soul. Let's take one more. What does it mean to lose your soul?
To lose your salvation.
Yes, to lose your salvation, which simply means to die spiritually, or in the worst case, to go to hell. Amen? And that's why you will never hear me opening my mouth and say to somebody, no matter how much you've angered me, and I tell them, go to hell. I will not do it. The love of God in me will not allow me to do it. I will not wish someone to burn in hell. Even my worst enemy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's not God's plan. I say that God is not willing that anyone should perish. Yes, I can wish them to receive the repercussion of their actions. But I don't wish them to go to hell. The repercussion they will receive should bring them to repentance. Amen? He said, oh, my enemies die by fire. Which fire? Are you talking about hellfire? Here? Yeah. By the way, I want to tell you, you don't need to pray. You don't need to pray and say something by fire. It's not in the Bible. If you do it, fire is permitted. That's your own style. But it's not in the Bible. So, all the demons in Bethesda disappear by fire. It means nothing. Amen. Yeah. Just command them. You don't need to put by fire. It's just a way of speaking. Jesus did not pray like that. The disciples did not pray like that. Even Elijah that called down fire did not pray like that. He just called it down. Hallelujah. What does it mean to lose your soul? So when we read that scripture, and I've been many years a Christian, born again, I read it, I thought, you gain the world, you have everything in this world, then you go to hell. It's correct. It's an incorrect interpretation. But I think that's just the extreme interpretation. It's not even the most practical interpretation. So I give you my interpretation. The interpretation is this. Every time you miss God's plan for your life, you are losing your soul. You are expending. What's your soul? What's your soul? Your mind. Your will. Your emotions. Yeah? Anytime I'm expending my mind, my will, and emotions on something that is outside the plan, I am expending my soul on the wrong thing. I am losing it. Because you have to understand that this life you are living, you did not earn it. Amen? You did not choose to come. You did choose to come? When your parents were calling you, you said, okay, daddy, I'm coming. Did you say that? You just woke up one day. Suddenly you find out, wait a minute, I'm sucking milk. Where did the milk come from? Where did I come from? Where did the mommy come from? You don't know. They just told you one day, say, your name is Jonathan. You know? You did not choose it. Who chose it? Your parents asked for it, whether willingly or unwillingly. But who chose your coming? You have to understand that your being in this world is not primarily about you. There was a plan. God will never permit you to come into this world if there was no plan. Even people who have come into this world broken, God still has what? A plan. Nobody has come into this world without a gift. Some have more. Some have 10,000. Some have one. But nobody with zero. Hallelujah. If you are alive, you need to celebrate the fact that God has a plan for you. Living is an opportunity to enter God's plan. The angels designed it. Who do you think is greater? The born again believer or the angel? Hallelujah. In Revelation, you see them, the redeemed, sitting on thrones. The 24 elders, sitting on thrones, crowned. You never read in the Bible that an angel is crowned. Hallelujah. You never read in the Bible that an angel is sitting on throne before the throne of God. Hallelujah. He did not, they could not enter that level of the plan. God has a plan for them. Bible said the angels are ministering spirits. They are messengers of God. They are powerful. I didn't say they are not. But you are not called just to be a messenger. You are called to be a son and a daughter in the house. To enter the plan and do things that angels cannot do. Praise the Lord. And let me clarify, God's plan is not just that you will be a pastor or a preacher or a treasurer in the church or a Sunday school leader. It's part of the plan. But even in your workplace, there's a plan. If all you did in your workplace is you work hard and earn good salary, you've earned your reward. That's your reward. Your salary is what? Your reward. Hallelujah. But let me tell you God's plan for your workplace. You want to hear God's plans for your workplace? Your workplace is an opportunity to meet people. God's plan is always about people. What's God's plan about? Agnes, what's God's plan about? Agnes, what is God's plan about? Always people. Amen? So for example, where are you now, Agnes? Tell us. What are you doing right now in your life? Yeah, with your Monday to Friday. Tell us. Give us some insight that is not too personal. Yes, listen.
I'm in college.
She is in college. Preparing for university later. Yes? Is there anything you're doing?
I have a job now.
You have a job now! Oh, beautiful. I love it. I love it. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you something. Your college we give you education knowledge. Yeah? That's not necessarily God's plan, but you need it. It's a tool. It's not a plan. What is it? A tool. Your job, we give you salary. Yeah? The salary is not the plan. What is it? A tool. Let me tell you the plan. While you are in college, yeah, you will meet who? People. There are some people you will meet that I will never meet because I was not where? In the college. Hallelujah. You are God's ambassador in that college. Anything God will do in your college, He will do it through you, not through Pastor Ben. The only time He will do it through me is if you invite me to come and give a talk. And even if you invite me to come and give a talk, when it's time for a reward, I will not carry all the reward. You'll get yours. Because I could never go to college to give a talk if there was nobody influencing that. You see that, mommy? Everywhere you are coming in contact with people. So, your ministry at your workplace is the people you come in contact with. Amen? That is the one that will bring you peace and prosperity. Hallelujah. Bible says you are the light of the world. And you are the soul of the earth. Now it gives you a challenge. That's the day I knew. The fact that you are light does not mean you will shine. Amen? Jesus said you are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. But it's not automatic that you will what? you will shine. In number two, he said, let your light. Who will do that, God or you? You. You being light, who did it for you? God. Who making it shine? What will? You have to yield. You have to what? Yield. You have to yield. As a mother in the home, taking care of your children, it's a plan. Because children are people. Hallelujah. You know, there's one saying that I heard in my mother tongue. I like to analyze sayings. That's like you telling your own fellow, say, when you say, is that in the Bible? Is that saying says, he said, we have come to the world to serve children. It's like, you know that saying? You know that saying? Yeah. Hallelujah. And it can be like that when you have 3 kids and all the early days and everything you go through and go through and go through, the stress and the strain you have from work to school to everything. You feel that actually you have come to serve your children. You know what I mean? Yeah, don't you? Sister Kemi, she has graduated. When I say she has graduated, I'm not playing. I mean like she has graduated. I know that children have graduated. Hallelujah. But that statement is not true. You didn't come to the world to serve children. You came into the world to serve God. Hallelujah. Your serving your children should be a service to the Lord. He's the owner. Yeah. And when you see that way, it becomes easier to do that job. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anything, say whatever you do in word or in deed. Somebody who is spiritual, find me that scripture. It's in Colossians. He said, whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. You know what I mean? Please find it. That means that when I approach life as an opportunity, anywhere, to be a vessel of the expression of the will and the plans of God, God is glorified. Hallelujah. That's why I've worked at university. Sorry? Colossians 3:17. You need to master that. And ask yourself questions whenever you want to do something. Am I doing this for myself or for the glory of God? Hello? Hallelujah. So somebody say, nobody can compare, you know, nothing can compare with a mother's love. Amen? Yeah? Mother's love is not the greatest love. Yeah? Mother's love is good. Human level. But it's not the greatest love because a mother's love is selfish. That's why a mother can love her children more than the other children they give her. You know, if you are running a nursery, yeah? And you have your children in the nursery, and you also have other children in the nursery, are you going to love them equally? That's the definition of a mother's love. You are not called to mother's love. You are called to God's love. You know God's love? For God so loved the world without us deserving it for any reason other than the fact that he made us. He gave his only son that whosoever, somebody say whosoever. I don't believe that God predetermined that Sister Kemi will go to heaven. Wish he will. Amen. And then that drug addict out there on the streets. Yeah? Desolate, destitute. Cursing God because of his situation. And then God determined that he won't go to heaven. No. He foreordained us. You see, when God made the plan, there was enough room for everybody. Hello? When God set up the feast, there was enough room. It's whosoever. Whosoever will come. Whosoever will come, let him come and drink. Revelations. He said, this is the water of life. This is the river of life. Whosoever. Whosoever, come and drink. What's the meaning of whosoever? Let me. Agnes, can you help me? Whosoever, what does it mean? This is English. Oxford English. You know what I mean by Oxford English? Does it make some sense to you? What is whosoever? Just tell us.
Like whoever, anyone.
Anyone. He could see the Frida. Sister Frida. Sister Frida. It includes you. Hallelujah. Any word. He said, I can't speak in tongues. It's because you don't want to. Paul said, I wish that you all, somebody say all, the day you want to, you will. If you're not speaking in tongues, because you're not ready. Is there a lot of mental barriers? Amen? Is that you're overjudging yourself or you're over tightening yourself? You're too tight. Amen? You're too what? You are not trusting. Amen. Don't you know that when you are born again, the Holy Spirit comes inside you? When the Holy Spirit has come in, the devil cannot come and sit in your spirit. It's not possible. Ah, yeah, yeah. Say, well, Pastor, what? He can sit on your head. If you couldn't sit on your head, how will you be tempted? If you are born again, the devil can sit on your head. He can hit your body if you let him. Hallelujah. But it can't sit in your spirit, because deep down in your spirit is the Holy Spirit. That's why when it comes to spiritual gifts, he said no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed. Hallelujah. I said no one can call Jesus be Lord. I'm reading 1 Corinthians 12. Except by the Spirit of God. Simply, once you've acquired the Holy Spirit, and is living in you, he's the same Holy Spirit that will speak through you. So there's no need for fear. He said, if you, he's not talking to your jelly, he was talking to the Pharisees. He said, if you being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. He said, how much more will the Father give? Give what? Give what? Yeah? What will they give? Oh, is there anybody bold? Bold. It's Luke. I'm reading from Luke. I think it's Luke 11. What will he give? Yeah, if he told me he said good gifts, I accept it. But it's not the best. But it's correct. If you know how to give good gifts, English, isn't it? How much more would the Father give good gifts? But God went a step further. He told you what the best gift was. Hallelujah. He thought the best gift was a brand new Lexus Lamborghini. Amen. If I can just win the lottery, I won't have to work for the rest of my life. That is outside the plan. It will steal your peace and prosperity. And some people, it will take them to hell. You know why? Because they went outside the plan. When you're outside the plan, the devil can manipulate and afflict you easily. Because you're outside the plan. We thank God that God does not give up on us, even when we're outside the plan. He said, I don't want to sit there and condemn anybody. Say, you might have missed the plan of God for 10 years of your life. It doesn't matter. Remember this prodigal son? The father was waiting. It is a permanent position. Hallelujah. I said, Supriya, say, when you have missed it, don't run. He's waiting to help you. God never turns his back on his children. Never. I never. If a child of God goes to hell, it's because they walked away. Amen? It's not because God said, I have now forsaken you. No. He's waiting. Hallelujah. When he came home, what did Father do? He threw a party. Praise the Lord. I must have been missed God's plan. Even you may not miss God's plan in every part of your life. You may miss him in a part of your life. Anywhere you miss God's plan in your life, you have opened the door for the devil to steal your peace and prosperity. Now, the moment you realize it, don't play stubborn. And don't play smart. Come back into the plan. Because God is a supernatural sat-nav. He will redirect you. And he will relocate you. Hallelujah. It's never too late. It's never too late to get right with God. Please don't you anybody smile and say it's never too late to get right with God. Hallelujah. We round off in another 5 minutes. I believe that God has spoken to you separately because I prophesied separately. I know in my spirit. Amen. There are diversities of gifts, but it is the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries and callings, but it is the same Lord. Hallelujah. The fact that you are not a pastor and you are sweeping the floor of the church does not mean that God will not reward you. He will reward your faithfulness. If that is your ministry for now, be faithful. It is that means that will promote you to the next level. Usually you will not become a pastor overnight, and you probably should not try to become a pastor overnight. For you, before you have become a pastor, you have taught some people. Probably you taught some the school or youth church. You've mentored some people. You've counseled some people. You've encouraged some people. You've prayed for some people that are not your family members. It's easy to pray for your family members. It's selfish love. Yeah? You're praying for them because you have a bond with them. I'm not saying don't pray for your family members. I'm just telling you that it's selfish love. Amen? Hallelujah. The human being is essentially selfish. That's why you need God's love in your life. Amen. The world can never become a better place without the love of God dominating hearts. Some say, oh, but why do disaster happen? It's because the whole world is not submitted to God. If the whole world were submitted to God today, the devil will find no place here. That's why you see, he say he was bound for 1,000 years. No place. Amen? The only reason why bad things happen in this world is because there are people in this world who are not submitted to God and they are opening the door. And also, there are Christians who are not following the plan. They are opening the door. Hallelujah. There are diversities of plans by the same God. So even when I have a gift and I have a calling, I need a plan. Sister, what do I need? A plan. Amen. God can call 10 pastors, but have a different plan for their operation. Amen. Don't compare them. Your own job is where you are you growing? Are you changing? Are you getting closer to God? Hallelujah. Are you becoming more free in your spirit? If that's right, then you are in the right plan. Amen? Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And all the time. Say, I choose to align myself with the plan and the plans of God for my life. So I just want to say something that dropped my spirit now. For the believer, there is no such thing as retirement. Now you can retire from your secular work. Amen? But you know, I tell you something. I will never make the confession that I'm retired. I'm not retired. You can only retire when there's no longer any plan. Then you wait till you sit by the beach and be watching the fishes doing their own work, ministering the plan of God for their life. And you are laughing. I read something in Revelation while I was writing the book. I don't understand it fully, but it's there. He said, and all the creation in heaven and on earth and under the earth, yeah, sang praises to God. Read it, it's there. I think it's Revelation 5. Check it. That was the end. You can even check it now. And I think to myself, ow! Amen? When the creation is functioning the way God called it to function, they are bringing glory to God. They are fulfilling their own plan. You are sitting there. You say, I just want to buy a house by the beach. So you'll be eating fish. You'll be washing fish. You'll be dreaming fish. You even jump into the water and swim with the fish. That's not the plan. Amen? All your life, you were saving for that. Tithe, you did not pay. All the people that were in need, that came near you, you did not give them. Because you are saving what? You missed the plan! You missed the plan. And that's why you also traded away your soul. Amen? See, I choose to be in the center of God's plan. He has the master plan. And I will seek him to lead me. Amen. I was saying about, you know, the young lady in college. There are people. My job is to be a vessel that God can use to reach the people and draw them towards God. Say, what's the proof that I'm reaching the people? I'll be drawing them towards Jesus. Amen. It doesn't matter whether you're in security or in healthcare or in social care or social services. I think they're a bit different. Or wherever you are, or you're even Pastor Ben. The plan will always involve people. Because God's greatest mission is to redeem, to heal, to deliver, to set free, to destroy the works of the devil. Let's rise up. Let's rise up. The Holy Spirit, through the gift of prophesying, has spoken to you severally. I said something on my head, but I said many things on my spirit. Begin to respond. Begin to respond. I say one of the best responses you can do, the reason why you are missing God's plan, like I tell you, the simple reason, you are not yielding. You are too dependent on your brain. You've locked down your spirit. Sister, don't lock down your spirit. It's a channel from which God reaches you. Your brain is not good enough. You need the help of the Spirit. You need the inspiration of the Spirit. You need wisdom from above. You need supernatural knowledge and discernment that your brain cannot give you. Hallelujah. You need manifestations of the Spirit. Speaking in tongues is a manifestation of the Spirit. Divine utterance that comes from your being is power. Power to edify, to strengthen you, to comfort you. Hallelujah. To stimulate you. I said you need stimulation. I said the reason why you are acting wrong is because you don't have stimulation. You don't have stimulation because you are not drinking. You are not yielding. You are not communing. Friends, you need to drink. You need to yield. You need to commune with the Spirit. You need to engage with God. Because many of your time just watching TV, you know, messing around in clubs and pubs and tell me that you are feeling down. You need to engage with the Spirit. You need to yield to the Holy Spirit. You need to hear the word of God. Hear it over and over again until it changes, washes your mind clean. Play that sermon over and over and over again until it washes your mind clean. That word is for somebody. Hallelujah. We're going to sing your presence is heaven to me. And as you sing that song, let's the word is yield. Yield and speak. Yield. I say you are not too small. Before you came, God has the plan. Your plans are not as good as his plan. I tell you, they will never be as good. We're going to sing your presence is heaven to me. And let's just sing that as a prayer. Treasure of my heart and soul.
Treasure of my heart and of my soul.
In my weakness, you are merciful.
In my weakness, you are merciful.
Redeemer of my past.
Redeemer of my past and present.
You are the holder of my future.
holder of my future days to come.
All my days on the earth,
all my days on earth, I will away.
The moment I see you,
the moment that I see you face to face.
There's nothing in this world,
nothing in this world will satisfy.
Jesus, you're the car.
Oh, Jesus, you're the cup that will run dry.
Your presence is heaven.
Your presence.
I yield myself. I yield myself
to me.
I yield myself. I yield to the Spirit. I yield to the Word. Your presence is heaven.
Your presence is heaven to me.
Just made the confession. I yield myself to you, Lord. I yield myself to you, Holy Spirit. Fill me. Fill me to the full. I am yielding. Fill. I'm yielding. Go on, say that. I'm yielding. Fill me. Stimulate me. I'm yielding. I'm yielding. Say, be ever stimulated by the Spirit. Be ever stimulated by the Spirit. As you yield, you will speak. 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 You will speak. And as you speak, you'll be edified. You'll be strengthened. You'll be comforted. You'll be encouraged. Oh, yielding. I'm yielding. I'm speaking. I'm speaking edification to myself. I'm speaking edification to the church. I'm yielding. I yield. I yield. Fill me. Run the calibre. The feet of my goodness. I don't want you this morning. You that speak. You that speak in tongues. You got to you. Men drop care of us. These are the core of the culture. Run down. Hallelujah. He said, I know the plans I have for you. I have plans for you. Enter into my plan. Therein you will find your peace and your prosperity. Therein you will find your fulfillment and your excitement. I am able to restore to you everything that the devil has stolen away. I am able to restore more than what it took. Remember Job. I can restore more than the devil has taken. But not until you enter my plan. Thank you, Lord. To you be all the praise. For in Jesus' name, we are praying.